Welcome to the Every Day is Saturday podcast, the number one motivation show on the planet.
No more Mondays for you. It's time to make every day Saturday. Boom!
This is the podcast where we help you to accept who you are, not where you are.
On the roller coaster of life, you know we only sit in the front seat, champion. So make sure you are fastened in tight. Let's go!
Tired of feeling run down all the time during the week? We can help you make every day feel like it's a Saturday.
Let's go pack your bags. It's time to leave Averageville.
Introducing the man who thinks abnormal stands for above normal.
When you're on fire, people will travel from miles around to watch you burn, baby. We are fired up.
The host of the Every Day is Saturday show, Sam Crowley.
Welcome back to the show, Sam Crowley. It's great to have you. It's tax day in the United States of America, April 15th. Oh, no, I've got to pay my taxes. Come on, man. I'll get you out of that funk real quick. Those of you in the other 99 countries listening to the Everyday Saturday podcast, you have no idea, man. It's just a regular day, right? What are they all freaking out about over the U.S.? Well, today's the day we pay our taxes. Well, we're supposed to, number one. Some don't. Number two, it's the last day to actually file. Many have actually paid. And oh, by the way, people get a tax return. So, you know, this whole thing about tax day, it is what you make of it. Kind of the theme of today's show. You know, you're going to get all worked up and all panicky and worried about stuff that, come on, man, you're in 100% control of that. So, hey, I want to talk about a question came in overnight via the email. Sam, what do I do about the negative people in my life? Oh, I love this. I get this question, aside from procrastination, I probably get this question the most. What do you do, man? I didn't call them the haters. I really don't think anybody hates anybody. Here's what I think. You want my version? You want my Dr. Phil psychology? Is I think people hate themselves that much. They hate their own life. They hate what they've settled for. You know, the chances that they did not take. And now they're taking in that out on you. But who else are they going to talk to, right? I mean, at some point, you hang around the water cooler of life, and you talk with all the other negative people, and it's okay. They make you feel good about, you know, being average and settling in life and staying where you are, never daring to do anything great, never even putting yourself out there at all. So what's next? Well, you see somebody maybe you went to high school with, or they quit their job, they went on to do something big, or, I don't know, somebody used to know, and now you look at them and they're doing everything that you never did, the shot that you never took. So if somebody's taking a shot at you, it's because they're holding a mirror up to their own life and saying, damn, I suck. I didn't make anything of my life. And here's Susie over there. Here's Johnny over there that are doing these great things. And I got to go bring them down, man. At least try to bring them down to where I am to make myself feel better about just the life that I decided to take. And people make up their own narratives about, oh, they think they're so great driving that BMW, Mercedes. It's like, it's just a car. Put a key in the ignition, you start it, it takes you from point A to point B. Now, me personally, I don't get all jacked up. I mean, if you want to give me a Mercedes 5 Series, I'll take it. Okay? I'll take it. But I'm not going out and dropping $100,000 on a car. No, I mean, it's just not what I do. That does not get me excited. Okay? Going and playing around the golf and shooting 75, even though I don't know why I would bring that up as an example. I haven't played golf in 6 years. Pretty much since I started having a lot of kids, I haven't been playing a lot of golf. That's kind of how that works. But, you know, I would love to go out. I'm buying my zero-turn lawnmower this summer. That's exactly, you know, it gets me jacked up, mowing my lawn in a riding mower. That's what I want to do. But look, spending $100,000 on a car, that just doesn't excite me. Getting 100 people in a room and giving a presentation about the Everyday Saturday message. Now, listen, that gets me out of bed at 3 a.m. And many times it's actually gotten me out of bed at 3 a.m. I don't understand. Here's another thing. This is way off the beaten path. Ladies, you're going to have to help me out with this. All right, follow me with this story, okay? Hit me up on Twitter, at Sam Crowley. I want to know the answer to this, okay? My wife, Angela, weighs 110 pounds. She's weighed 110 pounds since I met her in 1996, all right? Some years she might have got up to 115, and other years she might have got down to 107. She eats like there's no tomorrow. I mean, she raids our pantry nonstop. I mean, we're talking cupcakes and treats and, you know, all the meat. I mean, chicken and hamburgers and cheeseburgers and Skyline chili. I mean, nonstop. I'm trying to paint the picture that Angela's not this petite little flower. Well, she is petite. I mean, she's like a size 2. But she ain't sitting there measuring calories. I mean, she probably eats 5,000 calories a day, nonstop. Yet when we're out and about, complete strangers that she probably hasn't seen in a year or so, not complete strangers, they know her. They'd be like, oh, hey, Angela. Oh, my God. Are you eating? Because they'll look at her legs, that like her arms are so skinny. And I'm thinking, that's weird. Now, it never really hit me when we first started dating. People would come up and, hey, are you eating? You look really thin. It's like, yeah. I mean, to me, I think that's incredibly rude. I think that's the equivalent of going up to somebody who's not thin and going up. I mean, it's just abrupt, right? And here's where I'm going. I need help, ladies. I mean, what if somebody goes up to a woman who is overweight and say, damn, you're huge. Has your ass always been that fat? What's up, man? What's going on? This is amazing. When was the last time you actually stepped on a scale, or when was the last time you actually skipped a little bit at the buffet? I mean, hold off on the gravy, sister. I mean, that's what's an equivalent to, right? I don't understand why it's okay for a female to go up to. I mean, guys don't do this. I mean, maybe. I don't know. I never go up to a guy and say, geez, you look thin. I always say you look great. Like my buddy Bill Donovan, we went to opening day last week. Bill's a triathlete. He's lost 30 pounds, and now he's been competing in triathlons for 3 years, maybe 2 years. I mean, he's crazy in shape, you know? And I'll be like, damn, Bill, you're looking good, man. Congrats. But I've never gone up to him and said, hey, you look fat or anything like that. But I don't understand it. Mainly with females, I observe this. It's not just with my wife, but I see other people. Are you eating? Are you okay? It's like, you don't even know me. I'm not talking about best friends. I'm not talking about relatives. I'm talking about acquaintances. So that kind of goes into the same framework as people, I think, looking at themselves saying, okay, I'm overweight. I better take a shot at this girl who's not overweight. So it makes me feel better. Because if I come at her about her weight, at least, you know, I feel a little bit better about myself. I think that's the psychology. And I think that's what happens in society a lot, whether we're jealous of people and the way they look, we're jealous of their bank account, we're jealous of their success. Guys do this all the time, but it's mainly in a monetary way, in a business way. It's like, you know, when you first get going in business and you're a guy and you've got buddies of yours that you remember back from the bar or college and they're not doing so good and you're doing well and you've got a nice house now, maybe you got a boat or a car or something like that, something that tangibly they look at and they say, damn, he's made it, or at least he has the perception that he's made it. They go, hey, dude, why don't you lighten up? I mean, is the house big enough for you? You know, and things like that. So I don't understand the whole psychology that goes around. This is the question. It all circles back to the question I got in an email overnight. Excuse me. Sam, what do you do about people that are constantly negative? First of all, the main thing you do is you cut them out. You perform what we call relationship surgery, and you just get the scalpel out, man, and you cut that thing out. Because what do you want to do? You serious want? Because this is going to weigh on you. You know, you're going to look back and think about what they said to you, or how they looked at you, or they're not even happy for you. I remember interviewing Bob Proctor a couple years ago, and he said, you know, when I first made my first personal development tapes, these cassette tapes back in the 60s, hell, they might have been 8-tracks for all I know. It was some recording Bob made back in the 60s. And he brought it over to his buddy's house. He's like, hey, man, why don't you take a listen to stuff I'm working on? And it was mainly Bob's take on the book Think and Grow Rich. I mean, Bob Proctor's been teaching from the book Think and Grow Rich for 50 years now. And he was so proud to bring this content over to his buddy's house. And his buddy laughed at him, you know. And Bob was nobody back then. It's certainly nobody like he is today. And his buddy just laughed at him. What's this crap? And I'm paraphrasing. And Bob left, and he was humbled. He was embarrassed. He was distraught because this is somebody. You know what he did? He gave his power to that person. And from that day forward, Bob said to himself, I'm never giving that kind of power to anybody again, that I want their approval so badly that it's going to ruin my day if I don't receive it. Because that individual isn't even worthy of having my time, let alone my approval. You know what I mean? So as we move further and further towards our very own Saturday, as we call it, you know, your goal, your dream, whatever it is that you want to do, you're going to have people come in your path all the time. They're going to think you're crazy and you're nuts. And let me tell you something, man. Here's the rule of thumb. If you're on the other side of that and it's just you and all the average people are looking at you, laughing, ridiculing, mocking you, you're in the right zip code. You're going in the right direction. If you're all of a sudden find yourself on the other side of the masses, okay, and you're sitting there thinking, oh, wow, so I remember it's just it happened so much in my corporate life. Like we would all be in the same thought process. Like And it was always negative. You know, we hated the boss. We hated the compensation plan. And then it finally, the light bulb switched towards the latter part of my career. About 13 years into the job, about 12 years too late, I thought, I don't want to be in this crowd anymore. I want to escape. I want to get out of jail. I want to get out of prison. I want to get out of this because I can't, I mean, I'm just trying to peek up. Feel like, you know, Robert Kiyosaki talked about the Kohiki crabs and indigenous to the islands of Hawaii. And the one crab would try to crawl out of the coffee can when you had a bunch of them in the coffee can. And then another one would swipe and bring them back down. And another one would try to escape and they'd swipe and bring them back down into the coffee can. I'm like, I want out of the coffee can, man. I want to peek out and see what's going on. I want to experience the ocean and the sun and the stars and everything. I want to be able to see a whole world that exists. And for me personally, the last 10 years, I've been able to just see life. And it hasn't always been perfect. Look, if you're going for perfect and comfort and all that stuff, stay where you are. Just stay comfortable. But comfortable kills. You know, that's the other part you got to deal with. I'm talking about going out and experiencing life at a whole different level and understanding that everybody, just about everybody at the beginning is going to call you crazy. But then you're going to find other crazy people, these other crabs that escape from the coffee can. You're going to be like, hey, what's up? I'm thinking about launching this huge business, this movement, this website, this whatever it is. I'm building a huge building in the middle of town. I'm going after funding for $2 million. And you're going to be like, oh, that's cool. Hey, congrats, man. Keep me posted. Like, I had coffee with my buddy Gabe the other day, and we were bouncing back and forth ideas, and not one time did we say each other was crazy. And these were some pretty wild, big dreams, you know, big, hairy, audacious goals, the BHAGs. And we're both like, hey, man, cool. I hope you get there. See, entrepreneurs are never jealous. Most entrepreneurs are never jealous. We pick each other up. We encourage each other. It's not like, you know, if you get promoted at a job, this isn't where we're at anymore. We're not in that stupid game where Joe gets promoted and Larry's jealous because he took his spot. You know, it's not where Sally is now all of a sudden Mary's boss and she thinks she was should have got the promotion and she can't even sleep at night because she's so damn jealous. It's not that at all. We're not in the area of, you know, boy, have you been eating? You look thin. Hey, you know what, man? Have you not been eating? I mean, have you been eating too much? Because you don't look very thin and I'm worried about you. You're wearing curtains now for an outfit. I mean, who says that stuff? You know who says that stuff? Insecure bundle of fluff. Male, female, jealousy, whoever it is, man. It's that single thread woven throughout insecure people. Don't let that be you. If you're out there and you're jealous of other people's success, just stop it. It's actually more of a natural human trait than none of us would admit it publicly. But if in private, if we were given the truth, Sam, we'd be like, yeah, I've been jealous before of people who had success and wish it could have happened to me as fast as it happened with them. Listen to me. There ain't nobody out there that's an overnight success. We've all paid the price. I'm a 46-year overnight success. And let me tell you something. I work harder today than I did 10 years ago when I first started podcasting, for example. So don't ever be jealous of other people's success. Celebrate. Celebrate their success. Send them a nice email, a tweet, whatever you do, a text message, and let them know you're proud of them and to keep it up because it makes you look good. And you know what? They're going to remember you because you were one of the few who actually reached out with a sincere and authentic congratulatory high five. Cool? Awesome, man. Hey, Sam Crowley, host of the Everyday Saturday Show. Hit me up on Twitter, at Sam Crowley, by the way. I want to know what you want to hear on the next show. I'll mention you, your name. I'll give you a plug for your website. Let's make sure, man, we're changing lives worldwide. Have the best day ever!
Thank you for listening to the Every Day is Saturday podcast. Still fired up and want more of Sam Crowley? Be sure to visit everydayissaturday.com. And don't forget to follow Sam on Twitter, at Sam Crowley. Let Sam know you're listening. Use hashtag Every Day is Saturday.